So I want to talk today. Can we get the Galatians verse? Oh, we didn't have that first service. You guys get the Holy Spirit's been ministering to me even during the service and then in between services. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. So this child is a descendant, is an heir. So they're going to inherit so much, right? And even though they are a descendant and they're going to have all the inheritance, it starts off, there's no difference between them and just someone who works the land, right? But is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. If we do that right, we should say it loud, right? Abba, Father, amen? It's a gut level, it's a heart level cry. So go to verse 5 again. It talks about receive the adoption as sons. Everyone say receive.
Receive.
Say, I'm a receiver. God has, one of the things the Holy Spirit was showing me that I didn't have first service, but he's really emphasizing that word receive as I'm sharing. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13, it's in a few of the different gospels. The parable of the sower, Jesus said that if you know this parable, you'll know all the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And really the parable of the sower is how to receive the word, how to receive from God. Because there's three different groups of people that for different reasons don't receive all that God has for them. But there's that one group. We don't focus on percentages. We don't focus on who's what, but we focus on ourselves. Amen. I got enough to take care of for myself. Amen. So to receive the word, to have a ground, the tilling of the ground of our hearts, that receives the incorruptible seed of the word of God that produces fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. It produces fruit. Everyone say produces fruit. Because we're called to produce fruit, and we will produce fruit, and we do produce fruit. We produce, just like God told Adam in the garden, every tree will reproduce after its own kind. We reproduce after our own kind. Right? Not just in the natural, in the way we are. The way we see ourselves, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the Bible says in Proverbs. The way I see myself, that's the way I'm going to project on other people. It's just the way it is. So we're talking, I talked first service a lot. I won't hit all those points. So you can, this will be a part B, two, something, I don't know. But we'll cover some of those, but as the Holy Spirit leads, amen? This is his message, so we want his. And like I said, first service, it's not just about information, but it's about holy grasping and take notes. I see a lot of notepads. Good job, disciples. But also take them home and pray these out. Praying the word is powerful. Say things. Look in a mirror and say things to yourself, because God is speaking into our hearts. And he wants that. He wants me. He wants his love, his what he says about me, his identity to register on my heart, not just in my head, to register on our heart. And there's many of us didn't have, and even if you had a good father, it's not about, and as Christians, a lot of times we minimize stuff, but we all come from broken homes. I'm just talking about compared to heaven. Amen, right? We all come from brokenness. We live in a fallen world, and we're centuries away. I mean, it's just brokenness. So we all have some sort of brokenness in our lives, and it registers in our heart on some level. And that's why when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is that God is upon me, he has anointed me. One of the things that he's anointed to do is to heal the brokenhearted. We're not just called to be, oh, I'm forgiven, I'm saved, and then I just have to white knuckle it and do this thing even though I'm broken inside and I want to go to these muddy waters. Jeremiah 2 says that he says, I have two things against you, that you have left me the fountain of living waters and you have made for yourselves cisterns or containers that don't hold water. We've all done that. I think it was C.S. Lewis or Spurgeon or somebody who talked about how man just keeps, he had a good quote and I didn't remember it, so I shouldn't have said their names. I don't know why I did that. But keeping it real. Let's just go back to what God said in Jeremiah. I've drunk muddy water. I remember when I used to walk home from elementary school. I'll just tell on myself. I know. I used to like eating dirt. I don't know why. I used to eat dirt. And my parents used to think I had taste buds on my hands because I would just want the food all over my hands more than... That was when I was a baby, though. Anyway, we all go through that phase. And but there was this... I was so thirsty once. This is sad. No, Pastor Vegas is loving it. I'm like coming back home, and I was so thirsty that I started to see if I can get water out of a sprinkler. And I started sucking on a sprinkler, and it gave me water. It was pretty amazing and pretty weird, too. Twisted, right? And yeah, that sounds kind of twisted, right? But you know what? How many of us in the spiritual realm, we know what's right. We know what hurts us. We know what's already hurt us, already burned us, and yet we can go back to it. That's because there's something inside that's broken that God wants to heal. So we're talking about the adoptive heart of Father God. My first point is God has a heart to adopt. God has a heart to adopt. And you can be, listen to this, you can be in the family of God and not know in your heart of hearts that he adopted you. There's a big difference. Because I had a lot of theology in my head. So this is the bottom line for what I, as I just go, went back to look at my story. I thought, I found God and I wanted to intellectualize. I had a lot of heart for God too, of course. But I wanted to show God, wow, you believe in me? You trust me? You called me? You've equipped me? I'll show you what I'll do for you. And I'll show you how many souls I'll win. And all these things, it's just a nuance. That's why you can't see it. It's a lot of broken people. A lot of broken people in pulpits. A lot of broken people coaching and going up the business ladder. There's a lot of broken. We just lost a pastor in California, ended his own life. A pastor. I don't know if you saw that in the news, but we can't hide from stuff. We're not supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to be a hospital, the church, because we have the greatest physician that there is. And he doesn't just heal our bodies, but he does. He also heals our hearts, and he heals emotions, and he'll heal memories, and he does all that. And he does it without apologizing and without shaming us. Can you say amen? Isn't that what he said in James? He gives liberally without upbraiding. So, Tony, look up the word upbraiding, because I think it means not shaming, all right? God has a heart to adopt. So the definition of the word adopt is to take by choice into a relationship. Everyone say, by choice. Say, God chose me. And again, I want to warn you, it's not just head knowledge. Go home and spend time with God on these things. I told a story, a first service of that. Years, I mean, I'm talking about Sozo had been around. Well, God had done a lot of things in this church. It was after 2010, 2011, 2012, somewhere around there. And I was spending some time in prayer, and I said, God, I said, Jesus, how do I see you? I wanted to be closer to him, and when we believe lies, it separates us from relationship. And so he showed me this picture in the theater of my mind, this mountain over here, and this mountain was Jesus sitting on top, like the way I would visualize the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is on this mountain, and he's just chilling there. He's in his, like, chair, And he's just like, he's Jesus. He's just awesome. And everyone's like below him, and he's just talking to them, and he's just fire. He's just telling them truth and loving on them. And all these, and people are, some people are hearing him, but there's a bunch of people coming this way, and they're going towards him. How many of you think that's a good thing to do, is to go towards Jesus when he's teaching like that? If you were here, you know. And I said, Jesus, what lie do I believe about you? And he said, that I'm for them. And I was like, yeah, I do believe that, you know. So, okay, what's the truth? He said, I'm for you. And he got right in my face. I'm for you. Because I forgot to mention that in the story, I was right here sending people to Jesus. I was sending people, go, it's Jesus, listen to him. Go, he's got amazing words. He's awesome. And I'm over here at the foot, a little bit distance from the mountain. And Jesus just says, you know what? There's time for all of us, no matter what we do. Parents, you know, pastors, whatever it happens to be, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word and to receive his love. Everyone say receive. Point number two. Let's go to point number two, please. What we behold in God's heart becomes alive and awake in our lives. What we behold means to look at. What we behold in God's heart becomes alive and awake in our lives. So I was on kind of a, hit or miss. I mean, there was some performance, aggressive striving performance that was in my heart. And it caused me to like think that to hear that God loves me was like, it was like, yeah, I know that already. I got that. I knew that. That's what drew me to God, which that's pride. It's pride clothed in something that looks strong, that looks smart, that looks like it has it together, but it's still pride. And it keeps God at a distance. The Bible said God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the pride. That word resist is like a straight arm. I mean, he's not against us, but we can put ourselves against him. And so that's an important point. And that's why this is not really, I know it's a basic message, but it's like I just said, it's a crucial message. We need this on a regular basis. We need to be reminded of the Father's love for us. That puts us in that keeps us. The Lord is saying that keeps us in a place of humility, keeps us in a place of knowing. All humility is right, is truth. He's God, he's almighty. I'm not God, but you know, he's called us to powerful, amazing things. But it's only, humility keeps us abiding in the Father, abiding and producing fruit. You know, God's called us to revival. He's called this church, he's called his church universal to revival. The DNA of heaven is in this church, is in us. But a lot of revivals have gotten off. Right now I'm listening to a story about the Azusa Street. I've always been enamored by the Azusa Street revival. Not too far from here. Amazing, amazing move of God. I love William Seymour. I love his heart, his humility. I love, but it's like I said, it's the heart of God. It's just a story of a man and a group of people, men and women, that God did so much through them because they connected with God. But just like that revival, there's been a lot of revivals that have ended. Revival's not supposed to end. Because revival is just a coming back alive. We're not supposed to. The things of God are eternal, and he wants to do a lot of things. And so, if you're in a place of just any stagnation, or you're stuck, or you don't like the way you're viewing yourself or people, then this is important. Then it's important to get that healing and spend that time with the Father, not just data, not just intellectual truth, but with the Father heart of God. What we behold in God's heart becomes alive and awake in our lives. Isn't that why Jesus told us to come like children? Don't you love the kids of our church? They're some amazing kids. But they don't just, you know, they'll run to you, you know. Sophia Loren would be like, Pastor Paul, you know, and I'm like, yeah, say it again, you know. It's just, they're just so, they don't hold back. They don't go, Dad, I sat on your lap yesterday. I'm over that. You know what I mean? They don't do that. That's the heart of God that we're called to in our lives. Amen? Come on, Georgie, sit on the lap of Papa God. Amen? Doesn't that sound good right now? Come on, brother. Amen, my man. But it's really important. Listen, God was showing me last night. He says, you know, a lot of the world thinks that my body is judgmental because they don't think they are forgiven. Or in other words, this is what, if I mess up, oh, I'm a Christian. I mean, I've been a Christian for a while. If I mess up, if I have a mindset that I have to pay a price and I have to go through pain and suffering because I know better, and then I finally feel like, whoo, God can forgive me now, then that's how I'm going to treat you. And that is not the heart of God. The heart of God is to receive. And that's why new people, because this is, I didn't realize it at first, but he is bringing it to be, it's a really an evangelistic message. But just like evangelism and all ministry is supposed to flow out of our relationship with God, it's getting our relationship with God solid, where we're receiving his love and we're giving it away to other people. That is evangelism. That is the growth of the body of Christ. They were not perfect in the early church, just like they're not perfect in revivals, but they had this intimacy thing going with God. You can't be intimate if you act like you got it all together. You can't be intimate if you're showing that you're always strong. And our intimacy starts with God. And so let's go to the Matthew verse. Is that the one? No, the other one. 10, was it 9 or 10? Thank you, 9. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Before that, in verse 9, he had called Matthew a tax collector. And if you guys don't understand, tax collectors were like... I don't know if that's good. Okay, like a lot of people view dirty politicians. I don't want to throw all the politicians under the anointing, but I'll tell you what. A lot of people view like a dirty politician. They were like viewed as corrupt politicians, basically. Okay? Nobody liked them. For a good reason. They were cheating people. They owed, you know, a dollar. They'd ask for $4 and demand it because they had this concrete authority. So Matthew is called by Jesus supernaturally. You, follow me. And then all of a sudden, go back to 10, please. Notice this. Jesus had something about him that many tax collectors and sinners came. Do notice that they came to Jesus, amen, because of the way Jesus didn't go into their place, but they did follow him because he, the way he was, the way he's chill with them, the way he's accepting, he's love. But he holds his standard. We know that Jesus holds the standard, amen? But it's the way he was towards people. Many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Verse 11. Now when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now stop right there. All throughout the New Testament, this is the main thing that I feel like God wants us to get across this service. They're trying to hold these Pharisees. There's always a, you know, there's three leavens. There's a leaven of the world. Leaven means what influences you. When the world influences us, the lust of the flesh, the lust of money, and the pride of life, then that's going to separate us from God. First John's clear about that. There's also the lust of the Pharisee, or the leaven of the Pharisees. Okay? The leaven of the Pharisees is a religious spirit. I feel like that, I just feel like God is ministering that the religious spirit is constantly in the Gospels in contrast to the third leaven, which is the leaven of the kingdom of God that Jesus came to bring. He's just the perfect son to the perfect father in perfect unity, loving him, tempted in all points, and yet he's just absolutely opposed by the religious leaven. That's why don't be surprised when somebody who talks about how they follow God and they stab you in the back. It's because that's what David said. He said, I was not, because I went to the house of God and they stabbed me in the back. Because a religious spirit will come to churches. Where else would a religious spirit be? They're not going to be in the club. That's Herod's leaven. That's the leaven of Herod, the world. So remember that. That's why this relationship with the Father, this dwelling in his love, it's a process. It's putting ourselves in that position constantly, because the things of life come at us and we respond in ways that are not what we want. I don't think I'm the only one. Like, we were squeezed in that moment. We're pressured in that moment. And all of a sudden, it's like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I cut them off? You know what I mean? That's not what that finger's for. You know what I'm saying? You know, holla. That's why I don't got no Christian bumper stickers on any of my car. Because I'm a work in progress. Hallelujah. I don't flip people off, but I've said some not nice things before. Just to draw some sort of separation here, hallelujah. Some level of righteousness. I do not do that. Hang 10, my friend. And they're asking, why is he with those sinners? They ain't ready. They're not ready for what we have. But nobody wants what they have. I don't want what they have. I don't want a religious stigma. I don't want, you know what I mean, to think I'm better than somebody else because I go to church or, you know, I preach or something like that. That's not the spirit of God. Amen? You guys with me? Okay, next verse. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Got to keep it real. Next verse. But go and learn what this means. And learning means you apply it. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy. I don't want you to work more. I don't want you to have to memorize more or bring more people to church. That's not what's first. Again, there's a nuance. Those things are good. But what's your motivation? Are we showing mercy? And it goes back to what I see in the Father's heart is what shows up in mine. If I realize how merciful he's been to me, you remember the woman who comes into the meeting and she is at the feet of Jesus. She throws herself at the feet of Jesus. I mean, this is awkward for everyone in that room except for her and Jesus. Because Jesus knows intimacy like no other. He knows what's happening. And he ends up, and she wipes his feet with her tears. She's crying and her hair is all over the place. And the religious spirit, including in one of the disciples, that's saying, well, why is she spending all that money? Because that perfume was expensive. That perfume was so expensive, tens of thousands of dollars. In today's day. And she's just washing his feet, dirty, cleaning, worshiping him. And Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, this will be a memorial to her. Because the gospel in its essence is we've been forgiven so much. Because he said, she's forgiven of much, so she loves much. If I think I haven't been forgiven of a lot, then I'm not going to love much, and I'm in danger of having the wrong heart. The next verse. All right, I want to get to the verse in the wineskins. Is this where I was? Oh yeah, keep going. Yeah, next verse, 15. Jesus said, can the friends of the bridegroom, they ask, why do we fast? Why don't they fast when we compare ourselves with others? That can be a sign of a heart that's not whole with God. Because God, you know, we named our youth group Sozo, and Sozo means wholeness. That's a big part of it. I didn't even know all that when we did that, but God did. Amen. Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Verse 16. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Next verse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Keep it there. That's what I want to end on right there. God is pouring out his Spirit. It's the new wine. He's pouring. He's the desire of all nations. He's bringing people in to his body, to his family. And I really sense, first of all, he's always for us. He leaves the 99 to go after that one. There's a really cool story in the Bible. I don't have time for that one, but it's a powerful example. He leaves the 99 righteous to go after the one who's astray. That's his heart. And just like in Luke 15, the older brother, we have a choice. You know, the older brother, the younger brother is away from God, and then he starts to come back to the household, and Father God meets him. He sees he's coming back. He runs at him. Our Father runs at us, no matter what, not just to someone who's not saved. He'll run to you and me today, this morning, this afternoon. Amen? It's not just for them. That's the lie of the enemy to say, oh, you're too far gone, or oh, you shouldn't need that. No. Just shame him by running to the feet of the Father. Run right back to the Father. The Father is running to this young man, and he, before the son can even like plead, talk about how he shouldn't even be in the house, and the Father doesn't even let him finish. Right? You might know that story. If you don't, it's okay. Luke 15, go read it. All right? I'm not into like, oh, you know that story. If you don't know the story, I remember being in church. I didn't know the story. So don't be ashamed if you don't know the story. Luke 15, amen? It's an awesome story. And so God, the Father says, whoa, here's your robe, son. Here's your ring, son. There's the fatted calf. What was the fatted calf's name in the Blue. Here's Blue. Remember the play we did? Here's the fatted calf. You're going to have a party tonight. We're going to have a party tonight because we love you. We value you, not based on what you do, based on the Father's love. But did you notice that the older brother stepped outside the house? Look at the context of that story. It's the same. It's the same stuff. The Pharisees are coming against Jesus, so he's like, "Let me tell you a story." The parable of the prodigal son, the people named it that. Man named it that. I believe it's the Father's heart for all of us, for those who don't know him and those who do. It's his heart that he wants us to contact. So they step. The older brother steps out, and he tells his dad, he says, this son of yours, right away, he's like, I'm not in a relationship with him. This son of yours squanders this. And then he starts, because love covers a multitude of sin. Oh, but flesh does the opposite. Nowhere in the story do we hear about prostitutes and all this other stuff that he did until the older brother starts telling his business. That's why gossip is so evil. That's why gossip is the opposite of the heart of the Father. But if you're a gossiper, you can come to the Father's heart today, amen? Because he loves you too. But just knock it off, amen? Knock that off and run to him. And get God's hearts for yourself. Get healing in your heart for yourself, and then you'll have that paradigm. Because remember point number two, what I see in his heart for me is how I'll view other people. And the Father compels that man, that the older brother. He says, all that I have is yours. you've always been with me. You always, that's us. We have a covenant with him. But you know, he leaves that story. It's unknown what happens with the older son. Because I believe that message was for that group, that for the Pharisees. And it was up to them what they were going to do with it. But I believe it's not a negative. I don't want you to feel like it's a chastisement. If the Holy Spirit is convicting anybody of older brother thinking, I've definitely had it. We need to get it out. And the Father's love is what washes it away. Because when I know that I'm a newborn child, enjoyed and delighted by my Heavenly Father, there's no competition with someone who just gets saved, and I don't need no jealousy towards them when they're on fire for God and they're getting blessed and their businesses are on fire and their families are exploding and they're just doing great. Praise God. Get in line. Because God is the best blesser that there is. Amen. And he's no respecter of people. And for some of us, that maybe all that was in our heart, it didn't come to pass yet, we have to contend for, wait a minute, okay, I know he's not holding something against me. I know his heart enough. I've got to put myself in position so it's real to me what his heart is for me. Just because I know that that's not selfish. To be intimate with God is not selfish because it always glorifies him and it always edifies other people. Love puffs up, or knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Knowledge puffs up. I remember I was in Bible college and I was like, I was getting 5 hours of the word every day. I'm good teaching. And I remember I started thinking I was all that, like, oh Lord, I'm ready to go save the world. And he just kind of like, psh, psh, slap me down, and he was telling me, "Yeah, I'm gonna show you how to love. If we really have something from God, then it'll show up in love. Amen. Because that's who God is. So, Father, we just thank you this morning or this afternoon, as Angel comes up, plays some music, amazing anointed music, with the touch of the Father's heart." Father, we just stop in your presence, and we come at your feet. This is for some, it's a reminder. For some, maybe they're right there. They're at the feet of Jesus, and they're just excited. Some are new believers, and they don't know. That they can get jaded or they can get into spiritual pride. And then others need to come back to the Father. Wherever we're at in this place today, I pray that your Spirit, that we would be known by you. Not just know you, but we would open our hearts to allow you in and to allow the real motives, as ugly or stinky as they might be, to be seen by you, Father. Because anything else is a religious lie. And it's not true. And it's not being the body of Christ the way you've called us. It's living well below what you've called us. And I praise you, Father. Your Spirit, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of adoption is in this place. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's us. Father, I thank you for your Spirit moving today in a way that's drawing people. We're not just hard or white knuckle repenting today. We're not just proving ourselves at the altar today. We're responding to you. Because our hearts are crying out, we can't do it without you. I can't have the right heart attitude without you. I can't love anybody, including myself, especially myself, if I don't have your love. I love you because you first loved me. Pray for that healing because you are the healer of the brokenhearted. And this is the place, the hospital room of healing. Let's sing this. We have time, Pastor Drew, to sing the song. Let's sing this to close it up. sing it just however, just you to God. Spend time with your Father right now.
A thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night.
Come on, let it register on your hearts today.
By you, it's who I am, loved by you. Love, I'm delighted by you. Seems to be perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways.
Father, I thank you for the spirit of acceptance. Thank you for the spirit of sonship. It's all who you are. And I thank you that you, which began a good work in each person here, in each family represented here, in this church, you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You promised it. You cannot lie. You're faithful. And you're a true witness. And we love you. And we love you, and we want to love you more. We long for more of you. We long for this church to completely represent your kingdom on earth. And I thank you for our pastors, our leaders, who they work hard to keep us healthy. Spiritually, the dialogue between ourselves and the dialogue between us and you, healthy and strong. And I pray that you continue to strengthen them, continue to give them so much preemptive wisdom. You told us years ago, sweatless victories. I thank you that before weapons can even be formed against them or people of this church or the calling in this location, that they will be known, they will be dismantled by the weapons of the warfare of God, and they will be canceled. We won't even know about them. We won't even know about them. supernatural. I thank you for an increase in the supernatural parenting, supernatural pastoring by them and others that you've called to help. Father, I pray for that increase as well, because they can't do it alone. They're supposed to be older brothers, older sisters, other family members in the house. Help each one of us to know our calling and to step forward. We don't need to be invited by them. I'm talking about to pray, to press in, to greet people, to do the things that they've already empowered us to do. We don't need to be invited by them. We already have been. And you are empowering us to be the body. You're empowering us to rise up. You're empowering us. And that includes Esperanza, 100%. To increase in our community, like the Isaiah 54 prophecy, the word that we're called to have influence. But Father, I thank you that as we grow, we come into agreement that we grow in a healthy way. We grow in a healthy way. Each part doing its share, each part, and just thank you for gossip-free zone, sickness-free zones, bondage-free zones, addiction-free zone. We call this church, the house of God, free from destructive cycles. Because you are our healer, you are our Father. Because we just simply operate the way you've called us to. And you're a good, good Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give him some praise. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, that was a good word. That was kind of part two of part one, huh? Yeah. So let me just tell, I don't know how it works around here. Are they both? How do they get part one of that part two? Do you have any idea? Does that get posted? Both services. Both services are where? Tell me.
discoverhope.us.
All right.
Have it there on purpose, and you can go to the media, and just you'll see posted for today both services.
Okay.
You can only watch one, but you can listen to both of them.
Okay, so audio-wise, both of them will be on the website. So let me tell you what a big part of the message was, is just the fact that God, how God loves us. And that's why when he started with the Galatian scripture that we need to receive, you know what, that position of being sons and daughters. You know what? That is our choice to receive the love of the Father, that we allow God to be our Father. Yeah, yeah. And if we, I was saying in the first service, and it'll just flow beautifully if you can go to the audio cast and catch them both. One of the reasons why we stumble on really receiving our position of being a son or a daughter of God, and we stumble on receiving the love that he has for us, is because we really can't comprehend the depth of the love of God. We love, to the person that you've loved the most in your life, you have loved imperfectly. And to everyone who's around you, you know what? Even the one who's loved you the most has loved you very imperfectly. But God's love for us, see, we have nothing to compare it to, except that we look at what Jesus did. That is God trying to, you know what, show us the value and the love that he has for us. But even in knowing that, it's like what Pastor Paul said, you know what, for him, as he had that encounter, you know what, with the Holy Spirit, he knows all about the love of God. And he shares all about the love of God. And yet, in all of that knowledge and in all of that doing, there was an issue with him saying, me too. It's not for everybody else. It's for everybody else and me. I'm valuable. I'm worthy of God's love. Because he made us worthy. See, none of us are worthy. And we know that. That's why this is such a tripping point for us. But God made us worthy. That was he. Jesus sacrificed that we would have that way. And so this issue of not understanding how loved we are by God and not receiving how loved we are by God messes us up all over the place. If you're struggling with something that you've been struggling with for a while, let me give you the answer. Stop struggling with it and start just focusing on how much God loves you. Because when you will receive how much God loves you, let me tell you what's going to happen. You are just going to flat out fall in love with him. And when you flat out fall in love with him, because see, you know what you know? You know you're so undeserving of that kind of love. And yet, it is what it is. God said it. He's not a liar. It is yours. He goes to great extents in the Word of God to communicate to us how much he loves us and how much he thinks about us. As if the blood of Jesus wasn't enough, you know what I'm saying, that he gave his son. But we don't personalize this stuff, and we need to begin to personalize it. And God knows that. And he personalizes a lot of things towards you concerning his love. And so in the first service, I was struggling. Three of them came to my head. I'm like, dang it, there's like so many more, and I don't know why I'm struggling right now because I know better. But nonetheless, I had a little time. So I'm going to, you know what, just share a couple with you, you know what, that'll be new to even the first service, because I had a moment to look some things up and to just think. God says, listen to how he's trying to communicate how much he loves you. And let me tell you why he's got to communicate that. Was this not the issue right in the garden with Adam and Eve? See, the enemy's always trying to come in and tell us how not special we are to God, that there's a withholding, that God really doesn't think that much of us because he's withholding something back from us. And it worked then to take them away from God, to cause them to fear God, to cause them to hide from God. Could you imagine, parents in the room, if when you walked in a room, the minute your children saw you, they ran and hid? That they were afraid of you? The feeling that that would, and especially if you've done nothing, you know what I mean, but love them their whole life, and this is their response to you. You, the one who has brought them into this world and cared for them from birth to, you know, wherever they're at right now, high school, and you walk in the door and they hear you coming and they run and hide because they're afraid of you. Wow. And yet we do that with the Lord because we don't receive the love that he has for us. We don't receive him being Abba Father. And so he takes time to really get this over to us because everything hinges on this. The way that you love others hinges on you allowing God to love you and just really receiving his love for you. It'll cause you to love others right. It'll cause you to be able to clean up all kinds of things in your life that are holding you back. Don't focus on the stuff. Just focus on loving your God. And you can do that way better when you understand how much he loves you and you're not that one who's hiding and covering because of shame. So he says this in trying to personalize this. He says, now think about this, personalize it. It'll help you. Georgie, I know exactly how many hairs are on your head. Now, George's mom and dad love him. I'm telling you right now, they have no idea how many. They have not counted the hairs on his head. They cannot tell me. This is their son, whom they love. Tell me, express your love for your son by letting me know the detail of knowing him so intimately that you know how many hairs are on his head. No. Do you understand that? Can you take that as a parent, all of you, and just start to put this thing, see what God is trying to do? He says, Aaron, as many sands as there are on the oceans, my thoughts for you are greater than all the numbers of sands. Do you see what he's doing? Please tell me, the person that you've loved the most in your life, do you have that many thoughts towards them? That constantly? Not even. Ernie, every tear that you've ever cried, I've caught it in a jar. I'm so aware of every moment that you felt pain. And they're precious to me, man. I captured those tears, and I held on to them. And they're in a jar. What is this? What is this love? I'm going to close because we're over. There are so many more. And God is trying to. He understands the importance that everything hinges on us understanding how much he loves us. Even the message of the kingdom itself going out hinges on that, because you cannot love with the love of God as well as he needs you to unless you understand the love of God. And you've got to understand it to be able to receive it, to be able to give it out. And he knows this. And so every one of us in the room, I don't care where we're at, every one of us struggles with the reality of how much God really loves us. And so I encourage you today to not just take the message, it's a wonderful message, very fitting to every one of us. Thank you, Pastor Paul. But knowing it and doing it is two different things. So we need to really begin. You know how we're gonna have revival? When each one of us really understands the value that we are to God. When we can just receive his love. Because receiving his love in a way that we have never even been able to comprehend will cause us to just completely transform in the way we act, in the way we live, in the way everything that we do, in our conduct. And you can't receive the love of God and walk in that love that it's not just contagious. Believe me, it will change you. And you'll begin, everywhere you go, it'll just be falling off of you, around the people around you. And that is how revival begins. It begins in here for each and every one of us. That's why revivals break out. There's usually just a handful of people in here that get God's plan. That God's plan is not just waiting on God, but God's plan is all about you. And you're part of the plan. And he made it that way. That's his choice to make it just like that. And that's how revival begins. Amen. Amen. It's a good word. Thank you.